The woman in your life will do what she must do to comfort you and calm you down and let you rest now. The woman in your life, she can rest so easily. She knows everything you do because the woman in your life is you.
Yes, the woman in your life is you. Good morning, everybody. My name is Elaine B. Holes, and I'm your host. You're listening to Women's Spaces on 89.1 FM KPBF, our bilingual station here in Santa Rosa, Calistoga. With me in the studio is my partner and technical engineer, Ken Norton. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning.
Oh, what an exciting morning. The sun is shining. It is absolutely beautiful. Well, I have two special guests today. In the studio with me is a dear, dear friend and co-worker, Nancy Rogers. Nancy is the president of the program Entrepreneurs of Tomorrow, a program that gives scholarship to young African-American youth in both high school and junior college. And also, oh, and we have a very, 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 I give her three very specials, Harriet Frost, who's here all the way from the Big Apple, New York City. Welcome, Harriet. Harriet is a psychotherapist and a fluid writer from New York City, and also is also involved in a radio show called The Economic Update, which we also have on KBBF that airs every Tuesday at 11 o'clock. And I believe Harriet is on the first program of the month, the first Tuesday of the month she's on, and we can hear her perspective from a woman's perspective. And she's going to be talking about the women's movement, what happened from 1960s to 1970, and also what is happening today, and try to do some sort of comparison and give us some idea where women are moving. Well, it's official, guys. On March 22nd, KBBF 89.1, along with Women's Spaces and the National Organization for Women, will be hosting the three board of supervisors, Susan Gorin, Linda Hopkins, and Shirley Zane, who made history in our county for the first time in 166 years on the board of supervisors. We actually have a female majority. And it's, you know, oftentimes I talk with women, and they say, you know, we're not going to get anywhere until women have the majority. Well, right now in Sonoma County, we are one of two counties in the whole United States that has a majority of women. And it's going to be interesting to watch these ladies and to see what's happening. Well, on March 22nd, they're going to be here at the Carpenters Hall at 1700 Corby Avenue from 4 to 6. And it's very, very interesting. Kind of a challenge for me to get these three women together, because according to the Brown Act, when three officials come together, it's a quorum. And so therefore, they cannot talk about any things that are on their agenda or any some of the county issues. But what these three women are going to talk about is women in politics, what their challenges are, and what they hope to accomplish when they have their terms here. We have two newly elected, actually three. So all three of them are going to be serving 4-year terms, which is really very, very interesting. So I encourage people to mark on your calendar March 22nd. Actually, it's a few days after my birthday. I can't believe on March 18th I'm going to be 77 years old. Oh, my goodness. This is amazing. Actually, Nancy Rogers' husband is born. Harold is born on March 17th, and he doesn't know it, but I'm going to be celebrating his 70th birthday on March 18th, and we're going to do it together. So I really encourage you, mark your calendars, March 22nd. It's going to be at the Carpenters Hall from 4 to 6 at the 1700 Corby Avenue, and it's a chance to meet and greet your officials, your female officials. I mean, it's really, really exciting. Well, also, you have to remember that March 7th, there's an election coming up. Very, very interesting election. I mean, I've been reading the paper. I've been reading the pros and the cons of it. You know, I'm kind of mixed about it. You know, we're having the special election regarding the taxation of cannabis in our county. And as good as it sounds, when all of a sudden we start voting on things that are part of the general fund, I get a little suspicious. You know, why aren't they allocating the money specifically to different areas? Like, for example, research, that's number one. Number two is looking at how it relates with the wine country. I mean, there's so many different things that could have been written in that initiative that it kind of causes me a little bit of a big question mark. Let's put it that way. And the other part that concerns me is why there's not a rebuttal in the voting pamphlet. I have it right here, Consolidated Special Election, Tuesday, March 7th, and there's no opposition in it. And I know there's a lot of opposition out there, so that in itself makes me feel a little bit uncomfortable. But the most important thing of this whole issue is we live in a democracy, and what keeps the democracy fresh is when we go out and vote. Most people don't show up for these elections. And this is one, when it comes to taxation, you know, folks, you got to show up. In fact, when people complain to me, I ask them, well, did you vote? And if they say no, I say, I don't want to hear a word out of your mouth. If at least, at the very least we can do in a democracy is to vote. And, you know, there's a lot of eruption about the fact that Keith Ellison was not elected for the Democratic National Committee to be their chair. And, you know, I have mixed feelings there, too. But one, I want to make a statement. And, you know, normally I always announce after the break, but I'm going to say it now. The opinions expressed here are not necessarily the opinions of KBBF, Women's Spaces, its board of directors, its members, or anybody that's involved with the station. But I need to make a statement. I was so upset when the whole Debbie Wasserman thing happened during the election, when they did absolutely nothing. They never apologized to Bernie Sanders. If you remember the DNC, there was like kind of a resistance to him even being nominated. At least in this situation, we have to recognize we took one step. Yes, Perez is the DNC chairman, but at the same time, he announced they made a special provision to make Keith Ellison the deputy. So there's an opportunity for some change, and maybe that's the first step to them making changes. In fact, I'm going to ask Harriet Fraud when we get into the interview with her what her opinion is. I see that she's already beaming to say something about that, and I'm really looking forward to it. Well, you know, it's Black History Month, and I've been doing a lot of research, and I am amazed. I mean, with a capital A, I am amazed at how many African-American women made a big difference in our culture. Mm-hmm. You know, I just saw the movie Hidden...
Figures.
Hidden, what was it?
Figures.
Pardon?
Figures.
Oh, Hidden Figures. And I was stunned, I really was, when I saw the intelligence and what these African American women did. It was amazing to me. And one of the things that I don't know if you remember when I had about 2 weeks ago, I had Faith Ross on and we were talking about the movie, and she's an African American woman. And she said she had no idea that this happened, that these women were even involved in NASA. But the most interesting thing is that they were, and it was African American women who helped bring the men into space. I mean, amazing, an amazing story. In fact, I was really disappointed it didn't win as far as I'm concerned, it's one of the best. It was so well done. Not only the story, but the direction and everything about it was so well done. I mean, I was in tears and I was overwhelmed with the beauty of what these women accomplished. It was really amazing. Well, in honor of Black History Month, what I've been doing every single Monday is I've been honoring an African-American woman. And today I would like to honor one of my favorite women in the whole world, and that is Shirley Chisholm. Tell you a little bit about Shirley Chisholm. Shirley Chisholm was the first Black woman elected to Congress in 1969 from her district in New York City. That's why, to honor Harriet, I'm honoring Shirley, because they both are from New York. and in 1969 from her district in New York City, and she served for 14 years. She began her career in education administration, having earned a master's degree in elementary education from Columbia University, and went on to serve as a consultant to the New York City Bureau of Child Welfare. In the years following, her experience led her into the political arena, where she served as a state legislator for 3 years before heading to the U.S. House of Representatives. Can you imagine? This is a woman that was elected in 1969. I mean, you remember what was going on in 1969, for heaven's sakes. It was amazing. She served as a state legislator for 3 years before heading to the U.S. House of Representatives. Chisholm was one of the founding members of the Congressional Black Caucus shortly after her election. After roughly two terms in Congress, Chisholm entered the 1972 presidential race in the Democratic Party, making her the first black candidate to run for a major party nomination. What an honor. So we're honoring Shirley Chisholm today. And if there's two quotes that she has that really have stuck with my heart. The first thing is, here, this is a quote from Shirley Chisholm. I love this one. Tremendous amounts of talent are lost to our society just because the talent wears skirts. How do you like that? Just because the talents the challenge wear skirts. It must be, they must mean women. And this is one of her most famous quotes that really stuck with me. I remember when I first heard this quote, and when I was at the Women's Studies program in Sonoma State, and I said, right on, Shirley. One of my two handicaps, being female, put many more obstacles in my path than being black. In other words, it was harder for her to be a woman in lieu of being black. But just imagine the combination of the two of them, and yet this woman was able to succeed and do a lot of wonderful things and bring a lot of attention to the forefront as far as women and our struggle, and especially the struggle of African-American women. You know, oftentimes, you know, you start thinking about it. You know, that's what was so amazing about watching Hidden Figures. It was amazing to me to see, especially there's one scene where this poor woman has to run a half a mile to go to the bathroom. And it's just, when you start thinking of what happened, you know, we have come a long way, baby. But I'll tell you, it's all up for grabs now. And we better be careful. We really better be careful. We have to start making choices, and we have to start getting more and more involved. Well, a lot to think about. And this is the last Monday of the month, so we do the Women's Spaces Pledge, and I'm so excited. I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I've got 6 people in here to stay the pledge with me. You know, just a reminder to my listeners, you know, I wrote the pledge for my grandson, Ryan, when he was 5 years old, when he came out of daycare, and he said, oh, Grandma, you start crying. I says, Ryan, why are you crying? He says, I'm a bad boy. What do you mean you're a bad boy? Well, his teacher had told him he was a bad boy, and I looked at him, and I said, Ryan, your self-esteem doesn't depend on that teacher. Your self-esteem depends on your relationship with yourself. But I added your grandmother at that time. But since then, I have added your higher power. So let's say the pledge together. And, you know, just kind of relax in your chair. If you're driving the car, you know, just keep your eye on the road and just listen. If you're in your home, sit in your chair and just take a deep relaxation. And also to remind you, if folks want a copy of the pledge, just go on www.womenspaces.com. You can hit copy, put it on your word. If that is not good enough for you, send me an email at elaine@womenspaces.com, and I'll be happy to send you a copy. So here we go, the Women's Spaces Pledge. So I'm going to say it, folks, and then you repeat it after me. My self-esteem
does not depend
on anything.
On anything.
Sounds so good. Let's say it one more time. My self-esteem,
does
not depend,
on anything,
outside of me. My self-esteem, depends, on my relationship, with myself, and my higher power. Wow. That is so powerful. I'm going to say it. Just absorb it. Absorb it. Why do I think this is important? Because as women, we've got to be able to stand up. We have to have a voice. And if we don't have confidence, if we don't have self-esteem, we just sit there and go, you know, that we complain inside. I really believe that a lot of sickness is a lot of complaints we have within ourselves that we're not expressing. So it's so important to build our self-esteem. Believe it or not, I say that pledge sometimes 3 and 4 times a day, especially when you're a person who is a community person. You're constantly confronted with stuff that kind of hits your ego. So saying this pledge to yourself really helps you to stay focused and to know that you're okay. Remember that book? I'm okay, you're okay. This is a perfect pledge for that. So I'm going to say it, just absorb it. My self-esteem does not depend on anything outside of me. You hear that, Elaine? My self-esteem depends on my relationship with myself and my higher power. I love it. It's like perfume to my ears. Anyway, we are going to take a musical break right now, and this is, I'll tell you something, I end up getting a iTunes gift certificate. And so I've been getting songs off of iTunes, and I am so excited. I found this wonderful song, The Times They Are A-Changing. It's an old, it's a Bob Dylan song, but this is sung by the brothers and sisters from, it's called Dylan's Gospel Album. In other words, that they took a lot of Dylan's songs and turned them into a gospel. It's amazing. And so we're going to be listening to The Times They Are Changing by Brothers and Sisters. And when we come back, I will be talking with Nancy Rogers. So here we go. the times, they are changing. I mean, ever since I can remember, I was born in 1940. Ever since I can remember, times have been changing. They've been changing more and more and more. And right now, we're in the biggest change of all times when we're looking at our democracy and saying, hey, what are we willing to do to preserve it? Anyway, for you who are just joining in, you are listening to KBBF 89.1 FM, Calistoga, Santa Rosa. And I want to remind my listeners, the opinions expressed here are not necessarily the opinion of KBBF, its board of directors, its members, or Women's Spaces. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holt. And without further ado, I want to introduce my guest, Nancy Rogers, president of the program Entrepreneurs of Tomorrow, a program of scholarship that gives scholarships to young African-American youth here in Sonoma County. Nancy is also the owner of the Red Rose Catering. Welcome, Nancy. And why'd you put your headsets on so you can hear me pretty good? Welcome, Nancy. Do you mind, before we start, if I tell my listeners just a little bit more about you?
No, I don't mind at all.
I'm just so happy to have you in the studio. Nancy is also a neighbor. She's also a good friend. And I also want folks to know that I am the vice president of Entrepreneurs of Tomorrow. I'm on their board of directors and very, very proud. Last year we gave, what was it, three or four scholarships?
Four
scholarships. Mm-hmm. And, oh, I mean, to see the look on these kids' face when you give them a scholarship, there's nothing like it. Well, let me tell you a little bit about Nancy. Nancy Rogers is a native of Arkansas. She's the president of Entrepreneurs of Tomorrow, and she's really a been a very, very positive force behind the program, the Juneteenth celebration. And also, she's a member of the Black Chamber of Commerce here. How do they call the Black Chamber? What's the full name on it?
The North Bay Black Chambers of Commerce.
Right, the North Bay Black Chamber of Commerce. And she's also married to a wonderful man by the name of Harold Rogers, who is going to be celebrating his birthday on March 17th. The guy's going to be 70 years old. Well,
yes.
Congratulations. And welcome, Nancy. Welcome to Women's Spaces.
Well, thank you, Elaine.
I mean, it's just a joy. You know, anything else you'd like to add to our conversation? Anything I introduced you, anything you'd like to add?
Well, I just want to tell the audience, I could just listen to Elaine all day. And she had mentioned that we are neighbors, and believe me, she probably hear me running over there, oh, Elaine, I'm totally stressed, but when I leave, I'm not stressed at all.
Well, thanks for the plug, Nancy. Wonderful. Well, you know, this is Black History Month, and I wanted to honor you as an African-American woman, and also to talk about, you know, talk a little bit about, I mean, you're a mother, you're a grandmother, you know, why do you think that Black History Month is so important, Nancy?
Elaine, I think that we just can never forget. We can't forget the achievement of the Black America and the whole nation on their contribution and achievement. We have to let the students, our kids, know that people fought and died just to get us to vote. And how can you, you know, we used to couldn't get into college. And so when my kids turned 18, you know, I just left my pamphlet there and I said, I want to see you at the voting. You cannot forget to vote. You cannot forget what these peoples did. My grandmother couldn't write, but when it came time to vote, she put her X on the paper.
Wait a minute, your grandma? Oh, my goodness. That just touches my heart, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you going to college must have been a major event in your family.
It was a major event to me. To go to college, I started off at the University of Pine Bluff in Arkansas, but I moved out to California because I thought, and it was true, that I could get ahead faster out here. And I went to the junior college. I took the culinary, and also before I had another business. It was an early childhood development. I went through a program, and I opened up my own child care center. And so going to college, to me, was the only way that I feel that I could get ahead. I got hired at Hewlett-Packard in 1977. And all the way through, they was really good company on sending you to college if you wanted to go take classes. I took advantage of all those classes.
Well, let me ask you a question. You know, Shirley Chisholm made it very clear. I remember reading her biography and how she talked about how difficult it was for her being a woman was even harder than being African-American. Did you find that to be true for yourself, or was it the combination? Or what do you think some of the challenges that you had, or were some of the barriers that you had?
You know, my challenge started long time ago in high school because I'm very short. And I love to play basketball, but the teacher was saying, you're too short. So that was a challenge there. And then as, you know, as a black woman and going out to get a job, it was a challenge even to get promoted, even though some of the jobs that I was doing the job but wasn't promoted to the jobs, kind of like the lady in Hidden Figures. And so there is a challenge to... I had to go and challenge my managers and fight for that promotion because I'm already doing it and I'm already training people. So why shouldn't I be able to do that?
Well, you know, what was your secret? Well, I know for myself, I mean, one of the things, I was the first one in my family to actually achieve a master's degree. I mean, I can see my mother out in the audience crying about it. But, you know, what do you think your secret was? What gave you the tenacity to keep moving forward, even though you had some of these obstacles?
Well, you know, when I was at Hewlett-Packard, there was a class, and it was like a self-esteem class because I was quiet. And I would just sit back and just let people take over. And once I went to this class, it just kind of changed everything. I tried to learn, it taught me how to be aggressive, but not just too far.
Well, assertive, in other words.
Yeah, assertive, but not too aggressive. And so after that, I just started saying, hey, just praying about it and just going, what can happen?
So it seems like you came to the place of, my favorite line in the Bobby McGee, freedom's just another word for nothing left to lose. Nothing ain't worth nothing unless it's free.
Exactly.
So you were free to speak out.
Mm-hmm.
And then secondly, your self-esteem. You said, I deserve it, you know, and you saw yourself and did not allow other people to see you. See, that's a very important point. We all have obstacles. I know for myself right now, what is my obstacle? I'm an older woman. You know, and there's a lot of stigma around being a 77-year-old woman. But I don't see myself with that stigma. I see myself in a whole different light. And when you see yourself in that light, would you agree that other people see you in the same light?
Yes, I do agree. And, you know, as a black business owner, I remember when we had the cafe and some people walk in, you know, white people, some, they look at them and so that we was black, and they turned around and just went out. Because in the cafe, I did have a bum up picture on the wall, so they have done it.
You know, but, talking about Obama's pictures, I'll never forget when we had this one, after he won the election, and we had a big party at the Red Rose, and we had this big statue, this cardboard statue of Obama, and we're all taking pictures. I have a picture of Ken and I in the middle. There's Obama. So go ahead, continue. I'm sorry.
So that's a challenge also, you know, but without those challenges, you know, I don't think that I could help be where I'm at today. Because each challenge, it just, you know, I'm just ready to keep going.
It's a learning experience.
It's a learning experience.
It makes you strong. You know, in life there's choices, you know, and you have to choose for yourself. You can't let others choose for you. Otherwise, I mean, I don't want to get into it, but that's also my feeling right there. Well, let's talk a little bit about the Entrepreneurs of Tomorrow. I know we have an annual event that happens this year. It's going to be happening in September. Is that correct?
That is correct.
And also what it is, it's a fundraiser. We do fundraisings all year. So if anybody out there knows of anybody who would like to support a program like this, they could always contact us through www.womenspaces.com. But talk a little bit about the Entrepreneurs of Tomorrow. Tell us about it.
You know, the Entrepreneurs of Tomorrow, this year we're selling our 10th year anniversary. It started with the Chambers of Commerce, a nonprofit 501(c).
That's the Black Chamber, right?
The Black Chambers. And our goal is to focus on students and helping them get the little better things that they need to be successful in college. You know, going to college, you need books, you know. You need computer. And so some students have to go to the library and copy, you know, your homework because they can't afford the $200 book. So we give our scholarship from $500 to $1,000 to these kids that are very challenged. And unfortunately, most of the kids that challenge are African-American students. And so we reach out to them and reach out to their parents. And we also want to start having classes on successful life classes at the Santa Rosa Junior College, and also been talking to the Sonoma State University on having 25 to 50 students, that's high school students, to spend a month at the college for the hopes, just a month at the college, in just staying there. Get used to the college. So when they get ready for college, then they'll be prepared. And the reason I say that, when I went to the University of Pine Bluff, I just felt lost. You know, here at this huge college, I didn't know, really know anyone, and so I kind of not wanted to be there. I just felt by myself. If we prepare these kids before they get into college, and then they will be used to the idea of going to college. And so we're going to be working with them on that program.
You know, I want to add something here. You know, one of the things about women's spaces, we always talk about asking our world leaders, our local leaders, our president, the whole nine yards of people that we vote for leaders, is before they make a decision, they ask one important question: is it good for the children? If it's not good for the children, let's not do it. And you know, it's really interesting, you know, listening to you, is that what you're really doing is you're offering a hand to a young person and saying, I'm there for you. I want to support you. I want to show you how to do it. Because most of us are nervous. I remember I went back to school when I was 30, you know, and I remember, this is really interesting, I remember sitting there. I was assigned a term paper, and I was sitting on the lawn, and I was crying, and a beautiful African-American black man came up to me and said, Sister, what are you crying about? And, oh, I got to do this term paper, and I can barely read and write. And he says, look at me. He says, what if I sat down and cried? He says, give me your hand. He takes my hand. He takes me to a tutoring office. A tutoring office. They sat down with me. They helped me to do, you know, how to write a term paper, how to read, how to mm-hmm. comprehend certain. Here I was 30 years old. You know how humiliating it was for me to admit that I couldn't even read and write appropriately to go through college. And I ended up, because of that young man coming up and saying to me, what if I would be sitting there crying? Where would I be today? I ended up getting a master's degree. So you never know how you can help. And I was third in the class. So go figure that one out. But that was through tutoring. That was through somebody helping me to understand. Unfortunately, I didn't have some of the background like many of the students, where maybe they don't have a home that has books or encourages those things. So I commend you for what you're doing. Go ahead, Nancy.
Well, Elaine, you know, I went back to my hometown in Arkansas for a funeral in October. And I wanted to use a computer. I didn't take my computer. And it was hard for me to find a house that had a computer in it, you know. And the school that was there, it closed down, so the kids have to bus 30 miles to go to school. Now, that's here in the United States now, you know. There's no library in the town. Folks, and so those kids, they're already behind, you know. And so it was good for me to hear the president last night talk about the black historic colleges, that he's going to start funding money, more money into the colleges. So that is kind of a plus.
Well, I can say one thing, mazel tov, that something positive is coming from this man. I'm glad to hear some good news. You hear that on Women's Spaces. Donald Trump is going to be funding some colleges. That's great news. Well, we're coming to the end of our segment here, Nancy. Why don't you give your website and any other information that you would like to give?
Okay, the website right now, we're creating a new website, and it's not going to be ready for another 2 or 3 weeks. And so once that website is up, we're going to be able to, the scholarships, we're going to have all the information on scholarships. But what I'm so happy about is the scholarship information. If a student put their scholarship on our website, it's going to go to several other websites, like the 100 Black Men's, or, you know, the Petaluma Blacks, or different other places. And they don't have to do it one time. And so those other places will be looking for their scholarship also. They'll be able to get more money.
Why don't you give your email if people have any questions?
You could get my email at nr0000@aol.com.
And a reminder to my listeners that we will have all this information on Women's Spaces, www.womenspaces.com. Any last things you'd like to share, Nancy?
No, Elaine, I really thank you so much for being a friend, also for doing this radio station, because people just have to know what's going on, and you really let them know.
Well, thank you so much, Nancy, and thank you for being on here at Women's Spaces. And we're all going to be enjoying lunch today with Harriet Fraud. I'm so excited. This is such an exciting program, folks. I mean, I'm trying to contain myself, but I am really, really very excited. Well, thank you so much, Nancy Rogers. We're going to take a musical break, and I'm going to dedicate this to Nancy. I'm going to dedicate this song to Nancy and her friend and her family. Ain't Nobody Gonna Turn Me Around by Lydia Violet. I think this is a great song as we come to the end of Black History Month and move into Women's History Month. When we come back, I will be talking with Dr. Harriet Fraud, and we will be talking about the women's movement from 1960s and 1970s and an analyzing of how it is today. Anyway, here we go with Ain't Gonna Let Nobody Turn Me Around by Lydia Violet. I love that song. That's a story of my life. Honestly, it really is. Keep on going, folks. I mean, you know, you have an idea, just put one foot in front of the other, and before you know it, you're there. Well, welcome back. You are listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holtz. And by the way, my middle name is Beverly. I had an email. What does the B stand for? Beverly reminds me to be here now. I'm doing the best I can, and I'm a beautiful child of the universe, and Ken and I are beekeepers. Well, anyway, without further ado, I want to introduce my very, very special guest, Dr. Harriet Fraud. She has come here all the way from the beautiful city of New York. Welcome, Harriet. Welcome to Women's Voices.
Thank you. I'm very glad to be here.
You know, and a special shout out to my dear, dear friend, June Becheres, who's sitting here in the studio, who went and picked up Harriet. June is a member of the Green Party, and she was newly elected to the county council. Congratulations. I think it's her second term, but congratulations to you. And also in the studio with me is a dear, dear friend of mine. Hi, Eileen Morbido, and she's sitting here as a guest. Very happy to have you, Eileen. Well, Harriet, welcome to Women's Spaces. Before we start, I'd like to tell my audience a little bit about you. Is that okay?
Sure.
Okay. Dr. Harriet Fraud is a psychotherapist and hypnotherapist in private practice in New York City. She is a founding member of the feminist movement and the journal Rethinking Marxism. For 40 years, you don't look a day over 40.
Yeah,
for 40 right. years, she's been a radical committed to the transforming U.S. personal and political life. She writes regularly for some of my favorite outlets, Truthout, and journals such as Toucan and the Journal of Psychohistory. Her latest book, written with Richard Wolff and Stephen Resnick, is Class Struggle on the Home Front. Her newest publication is an essay written with Tess Fraud Wolff. That's her daughter, I believe.
Yes.
Imagine Personal and Sexual Life. Oh, my goodness. This is such a hot title. Imagine Personal and Sexual Life Under Socialism. You mean it's better under socialism? I hope so. Probably we're more relaxed. Mm. Which appears in the forthcoming book, Imagine Socialism in the USA. Also, you have a new article coming up. Why don't you talk about that? In 2017, dedicated to New Marxism with Stephen Resnick and Richard Wolff. What is that about?
Well, what it's about is there's a festschrift. There's a book honoring the Marxism of Richard Wolff and Stephen Resnick, which doesn't say that anything has to be, but that everything is shaped by everything else. And you begin the discussion by looking at class because it's not discussed, not because it's the only truth. So it's a much more sophisticated idea. And I'm talking about sexuality because what's happened by denying class and the income inequality in this country, where we have gone from the most equal of the 30 wealthy industrial nations to the least equal, the most inegalitarian of all, is if the feminist movement talks about sexual liberation but doesn't talk about class, well, the only way that you can make a living if you're a young woman without an education is the sex trades of some sort, either as a sugar baby with a sugar daddy who pays your tuition, a huge movement across the United States in all the prestigious colleges, mainly in the South, but in the North also, or 44% of sugar babies are in graduate school or in undergraduate school and negotiate contracts. Sometimes they don't involve sex, but they do involve being available to a sugar daddy who pays your tuition and often your rent as well, and who you see regularly when he's in town. You can't separate anything from class. If you're going to have vast inequality, some people will be desperate enough to do anything to serve the people with the money.
Well, you know, it's really interesting when you talk about that. Yesterday, it was Saturday, actually, I went to a town hall, and they were talking about health care. And what was so stunning to me is that they had about 7 or 8, maybe 10 people getting up there talking about health care, talking to us, telling us, oh, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. And then all of a sudden, they answered like 5 questions, and then they said, we have no more time for questions. And I thought to myself, I'd rather hear the questions from the audience and have the elected officials answer than listen to them tell me their rhetoric as of what they're going to do when they're not really doing it. Because if they were really doing it, we wouldn't be in the problem that we're in.
Right.
And so, you know, when you start looking at socialism, I think why is it such a dirty word?
Well, it's changing. Now the majority of millennials think socialism is preferable to capitalism. They may not know what either means, but they know that what's coming down now for their future is dismal. And more people are understanding that class is important. To look back at the 1960s, you know, all the other economies of Europe and the Soviet Union were destroyed. America didn't have a war on our soil. There were opportunities galore within our racist, sexist society. They were allocated to white males, but they were opportunities. And that has changed. And in 1960, only 10% of women were unmarried. Now, the majority of American women are not married. The whole gender has changed. Jobs have changed. As women in the 1960s, we wanted access to what men had. And we saw them, in some ways, as the enemy. And in many ways, that was influenced by Gloria Steinem, who worked for the CIA.
Well, what's so interesting, though, Harriet, when you start thinking about it, like I'm thinking about when they signed, when there was a bill that was signed, something about a trimester with abortion. It was some sort of
thing.
And I noticed it was all men. There was not one woman there while they were signing this. And I'm thinking to myself, why are these men up there trying to take care of us? Why do they are the ones that determine, you know, what our bodies are? You know, I remember when they wrote the book, Our Bodies, Ourselves. That was the whole idea, was to have
our
domain
bodies.
Over our bodies. And how does this happen that all of a sudden that they decide that they can determine for us when we came out of the 1960s and 1970s women's movement?
Well, Trump is a misogynist and a blatant misogynist. And also, not all women think the same. I wouldn't want Betsy DeVos, the head of, you know, his cabinet member on education, to decide anything for me, but that he has a group of misogynist men who want to go back to the old ways. And part of the old ways of the 1960s and before was male control over women's reproduction. And with the advent of the pill and women's liberation, and also with the depression of men's salaries when their jobs were outsourced, mechanized, robotized, and computerized, white men are no longer on top. And the people that voted for Trump want that white supremacy back. Make America white again is their idea.
Is that what they mean by make America great again?
I think so.
Make America white, male?
White and male. Because one of the things that's happened as tens of thousands of jobs, particularly the better union jobs that paid a family wage, have been outsourced, white men are demoted and are a very angry group, which is why all the mass murderers around have been white men, and they've been an occasional minority man, but they're all men.
It's so interesting. You know, I'm thinking about my own family. My father was a union man. My mother didn't have to go to work. You know, Ken's father went through the B-2 program with the United States Navy. So he had a good job. His mother could stay home and raise 8 children. You know, it was unheard of that women went to work the way they're doing now. When it came to my generation and me being a mother, all of a sudden I had to not only be a mother, but I had to work. I had to keep my figure. I mean, all these different things that I entered into. And I remember going into women's studies. It was very, very interesting. And all of a sudden, I was sitting there. And all of a sudden, in my brain, it said, I have a choice. I have a choice. I can do my life the way I want to. And it was such a revelation to me. And then here we are in 2017, and they want to take that away.
They sure do.
They're scared to death.
They're scared, and also what they really want to do is shift responsibility from corporate America that outsourced and robotized and computerized their jobs to whoever is down below. So these billionaires want to find someone poorer and allocate blame. Suck up, kick down. And they want to be sure to shift all the blame onto the women and minorities who got opportunities around the 70s from the civil rights struggles and the feminist struggles, and they want to blame them so that nobody looks at the top. It's the pig that's polluting the stream and right down below there, but up at the top, a pig is polluting the stream. They want to fight over who did it. Look up. You could see who did it. And they want to shift people's rage in a fascistic manner on those less fortunate to protect the top. And that's what the billionaire cabinet of Trump is doing. And he uses populist rhetoric to make these white men think they'll ever get their jobs back. You can pay a Bangladeshi person $38 a month. The whole world is there to exploit. They'll never give them their well-paid jobs back.
Well, you know, it's the old saying, you know, once a freedom is lost, it's very, very difficult to get it back. That's why it's so important that we start looking at these things. I mean, I feel America is at a big wake-up call.
Mm-hmm.
But what was different about the 60s? Why is it right now, the most shocking thing I heard this morning was the fact that our president is blocking the New York Times from the press. I mean, you know, that's exactly what, by the way, what Goebbels did when he was the propaganda minister for the Nazi Germany. The first thing they did was destroy the press, made it like the press was the bad guy and that they had to go to them for the perfect news. So how was it different back then?
Really different in that America was the only intact economy and was wealthy, A. B, men's jobs got family wages, the kind of family structure that we still have to the huge detriment of women is based on a wage-earning male and a dependent wife and children at home. That's why we, unlike all of our European counterparts, don't have subsidized government health care, after school care, summer care, free health care of all kinds, elder care. We don't have those things because the assumption is based on a 50-year-old or 75-year-old reality, which was only true for whites anyway, but whites were a majority then, the way they are stopping, you know, by 2050 will be a minority of whites.
Do you think that's why they're so against abortion? Because what's really interesting, Latina women typically do not have abortion. African American women typically will have their children, the family will take care of it. Same thing I noticed with the Jews. There would be a woman pregnant, they would take the child in, somebody would take care of it. But it seemed to me, statistically, it looked like Caucasian women were the ones who were more often to get abortion. So it's really interesting. I wonder if that's why they're so anti-abortion, not because they're really trying to protect. They want to make sure that there are this population continues to be born.
Well, I think it's part of the package of women's entitlements and women's power over our bodies. And they're very... The white male pressure that they're under is to take away every entitlement. Birth control, abortion, child care, after school care, elder care.
Education.
To shift it back on education, higher education, because women are now the majority in higher education of all kinds, starting with BAs and going up to doctorates. Not in every field, not in engineering or math, but overall, we are the more educated Americans, because part of the macho stereotype is not, you know, be a tough guy and not bother being educated. And that doesn't work very well.
Well, what can women do today? What are some of your suggestions that they...
Well, one thing we can do today that we didn't do in the 1960s is we didn't appreciate what we learned. And, you know, the feminist movement still hasn't developed. What do you learn from taking care of vulnerable life? What do you learn from creating order and cleanliness, which is why menial labor is so degraded in the United States? We could do that. But the most important thing we can do now is to realize we don't have to worry so much about the glass ceiling. We're crawling with men and women of all colors on the floor. Even though we get 77 cents an hour now instead of 59 cents, which we got in the 60s, the majority of women are single. 42% of all kids in America are born outside of a marriage, and the poorest people in the United States are women and children. And that we all need each other desperately. we've all been depressed in our wages and our standards of living. Half the labor force is women now, and women and men have to work together to change America, to take away that $1 trillion in military droning and bombing everyone, and improve our lives together, black and white, men and women, all colors. And that's what you saw on the March for Women's Lives. It wasn't what it was in the 60s marches and 70s marches of women with men as an enemy, women versus men. And I remember in the Women's Liberation Office in the early 70s, there was a big poster of an astronaut, and it said, they took one man to the moon, now they could take the rest of them. Well, it was funny. But, you know, we need each other. And there was a recognition in that march of the millions of people. At least in New York, where I marched, it was totally integrated, old, young, men, women, black, white, brown, together, because we're all getting the shaft. Half of people in America are what they call ALICE, assets limited, income constrained, but employed, struggling, just struggling to get by, whether whatever color they're in. And we need each other. And that is a realization that can't be changed. And they did invest hundreds and hundreds of thousands, which are like millions now, in the African American movement to make it a race only, and through Gloria Steinem and the CIA in the women's movement to make it a gender only movement, because class is what threatened them. Well, that's what's got to change now. So
it's fair.
Equality.
I'm thinking about, too, I was thinking the woman that I interviewed before you, Nancy Rogers, I was thinking about her when she heard about the march, the women's march, and she said, hey, I got to be there. And she went down mm-hmm. there, because it was all of a sudden this feeling of we all have to come together, because we're all in the same boat. We all live on this planet called Earth. Well, Harriet, I hate to say this, but we're coming to the end of our segment, and I would love for you to give your website to our listeners and any other insights that you would like to share.
Well, I can't share all my insights, but here's my website. It's www.harriet, that's H-A-R-R-I-E-T, fraad.com. That's www.harriet, all in one word, .com.
Well, Harriet, thank you. I want to thank you. I want to thank you for coming to Women's Spaces. I want to thank you for being a guest. This is your fourth time on the show that you have shared so much. I mean, it's such an honor to know you and to hear you, and I really, really want to appreciate it. So what are your plans now? Just you're going to be here for how long are you going to be in the?
I'll be here only until March 1st, and I was already on Mitch Jeserich and talked around, and now I'm just going to enjoy being here. And the beautifulness of California.
And the beautifulness of wine country here in Sonoma County. Anything else you'd like to share is just the last thought.
Just the last thing would be, we have to remember that connection is mental health, and that we all need each other. We're all at the bottom now. They used to have African Americans as the shock absorbers for society. First fired, last hired, poor. And so that people could say, oh, it's them, no more. Now it's everybody. Now it's the college. And big food stamp addition is people who are with PhDs. We're all in the same boat together, and we don't want to drown, so we need each other.
Well, you know, I want to add a last thought. You know, it could be karma, because we did not pay as good attention as we should to some of our brothers and sisters and some of the suffering that they've been doing, and also to pay more attention to who we elect. Mm-hmm. You know, to really pay attention. This is a wake-up call, folks, and we need to wake up and not to be afraid. You know, I finally understood what Roosevelt meant when he says we have nothing to fear but fear itself. Fear is debilitating, mm-hmm. and we need to take one foot in front of the other. So thank you, Dr. Harriet Fraud. Thank you for being on
Thank you so much.
Oh, it's just a pleasure.
A joy.
Well, folks, that's it for our show. Special thank you to Nancy Rogers, president of the Entrepreneurs of Tomorrow, and also to Dr. Harriet Fraud, visiting all the way here from the great city of New York. I want to thank everybody out there for listening. And I really encourage you, go out and see Hidden Figures. It is such an inspiring movie. I mean, I was inspired. Well, a reminder, friends, Women's Spaces will be aired again tonight at 11 p.m. I'm really excited. I get to listen to my own show, and guess what? I get to be really impressed. I'm available for speaking engagements or any announcements you might have. Remember, folks, our children are the future, and we must never lose sight of that. This is Elaine B. Holtz, and you've been listening to Women's Spaces. Thank you so much for listening, and I look forward. In your life.